This is the Relevant Radio Winter Pledge Drive.
Give from the heart.
Give from the heart.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logman. I'm so glad you're there. And those of you tuned in right now are going to be very glad you're there because I promised you a power hour today. And that's what we've got. A lot of power through the Holy Spirit coming to our, through our guest today. To all of you listening coast to coast. Joining me now, I'm happy and honored to say, is Bishop Robert Barron, Auxiliary Bishop for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. He's former rector of Mundelein Seminary in Chicago, founder of the popular Word on Fire Media Ministry, and creator and host of the Catholicism series, and author of several books. His newest one, To Light a Fire on the Earth, was written in collaboration with Vatican journalist John Allen. It touches on a wide range of subjects, including God, atheism, prayer, beauty, and why the church matters today, as Bishop Barron himself summarizes it, and he does that so very well. Bishop Barron, welcome back to the program. Thank you for taking the time to be here.
Sheila, it's always my pleasure to be on with you. Thanks for having me today.
It's delightful to have you in, Bishop Barron, and there's always so much to talk about. And just real quick, two things converge. In the first half, I had Chris Stefanik on. He was talking about the Rise Challenge for men,
sure.
A 30-day challenge for
yeah.
men. And while Chris was talking, he was talking about men having authority and power and so forth. Where's the recognition of that? And he brought that up in our culture today, and that was all very true in the rightly ordered world. And then, Bishop Barron, he said, men are profoundly lonely. They need to be called together like this and so forth. And then when he said, otherwise they remain ideals, he said, what this is just down to earth. It takes energy and it's down to earth material. And as soon as he said that, I thought of a video I just saw of you earlier talking about humilitas, the term for humility, being about being what? Down to literally earth. So talk about that, because you did an excellent talk on pride and humility. In our understanding of it today, because they're very spiritual distinctions, pride and humility, different from what they are today.
Yeah, well, of course, humility is recognized by all the spiritual masters as the great virtue. You know, St. Bernard said that. He echoed Augustine. What are the three most important things? And he said humility, humility, and humility. And because if pride is the first sin, right, the deadliest of the deadly sins, then the opposite of pride is the solution. And what it means is an openness to things as they really are. If I could put it first in that more philosophical or ontological sense. Before it becomes a psychological reality, it's an ontological stance. Thomas Aquinas said, humilitas veritas, right? Humility is truth. Mm-hmm. It's truth about the way things really are. The trouble with pride is we turn ourselves into God. Now, we might not do that explicitly, but we're always doing it implicitly, meaning I'm the center of the universe. The world revolves around me. I'm the most important reality in the world. And the key thing is making me happy, making me successful, making me, whatever. But see, that's out of step with reality because, as Catherine of Siena said to the Lord, Lord, you are, and I am not, meaning the truth of things is that God is God, and we exist only in the measure that we are being created by God. And when you get that, not as an intellectual proposition, but you get it in your bones, your whole life changes. Because now you say, as all the great masters do, my life is not about me. It's my life, but it's not about me. It's about God and God's purposes and God working through me. See, and that's humility, humilitas veritas. It's the truth about the way things are. And so that's why it's the king of the virtues in many ways, because it counteracts pride.
But to get that, as you say, when you really get that, then that dispels the ego, it dispels the pride, you change. Bishop Barron, do we need, for the most part, a precipitating factor? Like in this one video you did, this conversation about this very topic, pride and humility, you referred to being on one of your flights, many flights, and you were reading something, I think, in a magazine, and it was a millennial or a young woman, adult, who was a writer, a blogger, who had a child, and she talked about, being in the social media world and in that back and forthness and how we get self-centered in that world and so on. And you talked about the difference it made for her in her life to have a child now. Do we need that kind of precipitating factor, something very big, for that aha moment?
Yeah, often. And you're right. I read that now some time ago. That was a very cool article, though. And right, she was reflecting on coming of age as a millennial, and everything is about your Facebook page, and look what I've accomplished, and give me as many likes as I can get. but it was the experience of having a child, you know, as simple and elemental as that is, that convinced her her life was not about her. And that as she sat with her baby on the porch of her house, she realized, I don't really care what people are saying. I don't need likes. I don't need to advertise this on Facebook. Because she was brought into contact with reality in a very deep way. Think of the young Dorothy Day when she had her mm-hmm. child. And she said, I felt a gratitude so profound that I knew it didn't correspond to anything in this world. And that was a breakthrough moment in her own religious conversion. But see, that's what I was describing. That's humilitas. When you realize, look, I'm not the center of the universe. I feel this gratitude toward a power that stretches so far beyond me. And then her whole life got rearranged. That's the way it often works. And Grace, Flannery O'Connor was so good, wasn't she, at reporting these moments. When Grace kind of breaks through, often painfully. Because, see, if your life is centered around yourself and your pride's become the center of your life, it's hard. It's hard to discover humility. And often it requires a humiliating moment. Mm-hmm. Now, those aren't the same thing, humiliation and humility, but it can take a humiliating moment to awaken you to real humility.
Humility is so needed now. I mean, as you pointed out in that video, as you said, your videos, by the way, and you know this, you hear this all the time, and I know you have that humility, and yet, Bishop Barron, certainly you know, just like with any preacher and any clergy and any homilist or whatever, the message is timeless. And therefore, even no matter what year or month you made that video, it's timeless. Talking about this very ancient spiritual distinction between humility and pride, which you say is different, correctly so, from our conventional sense of these things, but let's stay on it for a moment in the social media world, because this is, some people you want to give it up for Lent, but then they're on there, and that's fine. A lot of good, you use it for a lot of good, Word on Fire mm-hmm. Ministries, for a great deal of good, reaching people where they can, be found, and yet a lot of it is the image. So you talk in this video, it's very important, about being, talk about this, about being very aware. And you say you're in a conversation with somebody. In that conversation, I thought this was so acute, that you're very aware of the impressions on your audience in your conversation. Yeah. You're following the conversation as a kind of interested spectator on how you're doing, right? That was so fascinating. Yeah. Talk about that, being a spectator of how we're doing, judging at all times for the sake of our ego.
Yeah, that's the stance of pride, is you're not lost in reality. You're distanced from reality because you have, as it were, the monkey of the ego on your back all the time. That what you're concerned about is me and my status. So I'm not really having the conversation anymore. I'm watching myself have the conversation, and I'm monitoring the effect I'm having. And so the distinction between those two types of experience, watching myself have a conversation in a kind of agony of self-regard, and having a conversation, you know, when you're actually having a conversation with someone, you're lost in it. You're following it where it leads. You're laughing when you're really amused. Your mind is being turned on by the truths that are emerging. And we all know that experience. When you're lost in a conversation, that's splendid. That's life. That's joy. But the opposite is watching yourself have a conversation, and that's the agony born of pride. You know, it's a distanciation from reality. So that's a further sense of humilitas veritas. Humility is getting deeply immersed in the truth of things, in reality, and not seeing the whole world through the lens of your own ego.
And yet, when you tell in this video, this is the one way to look at it, what you just said, you know, lost in your own ego, looking at the world through, sort of through a pane of glass, and that being a spectator to your own ego. Then you say, alternatively, consider this. Contrast that conversation with this one. You're in a conversation with a friend, as you just said, Bishop Barron, without thinking of your performance. You're lost in the rhythm of the conversation. You're laughing, as you just said. It's splendid. It's life. It's joy. It's one of the best experiences of life, you said. And then you did bring up Aquinas saying, you know, humility is truth. What is it that turns from one to the other? Because, again, speaking of a precipitating factor, with so much of that going on in social media, well, look at this fine moment in my life, or look at what my child did, or look at what I did, and look at the best picture of me and all of that. What turns us around?
Well, it can be that sort of precipitating experience, but also read the masters now. It's following the disciplines. So a lot of the spiritual life are disciplines around pride and humility, trying to break us out of one and break us into the other one. Think of this from the Lord Jesus himself. Unless you change and become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, watch a little child. Before he or she has learned all of the social conventions and before he or she is obsessed with the ego and how they're performing, etc., they're just lost in the simplest activity. It could be throwing a ball against a wall, you know. Watch a little child. They're in touch with reality in a joy-producing way. That's called the kingdom of heaven. And unless you change and become like a little child, so get rid of all this apparatus of pride and actually enter reality, you know. So now read everyone from Augustine to Bernard to John of the Cross to Thomas Merton, and you'll find exercises that are designed to do exactly that. As we enter Lent, it's very important. Don't think of Lent as some grim season, you know, but rather it's a time for exercises that get us out of the stance of pride. We call them, for example, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Mm-hmm. All three of those things are meant to break pride and to get you in touch with reality. Humility is truth. That's a lot of the spiritual life.
That is so beautifully put, and in fact, we have to take a break right now, and when we come back, I want to ask you, Bishop Barron, to answer your question. I loved when it appeared on the Word on Fire website, as well as in your social media for Word on Fire that does so much good, and that was simply, why Lent? Question mark. In our culture today, in our world today, that's a very good question that people who aren't Catholic and aren't often able to answer. If somebody posed that to a lot of people, Bishop Barron, why Lent? People would probably stammer a little bit. Well, I mean, let me explain. We want to hear you explain. Bishop Barron's going to tell us why Lent after this.